Good evening, everybody. We're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back with you here tonight on Monday for another week of America First. And actually, this is going to be our only full week of the show this month because, of course, last week I was all over the place, Iowa, New York. Next week, we will be at the Groyper Leadership Summit in Florida. The week after that is Christmas. And the week after that is New Year. So this is going to be, I know it's been sort of a weird month with December. Lots going on. Obviously, the Groyper Wars has produced some good things, some events, media appearances, things like that. But we're strapped in for a full week of the show. And I'm excited to do it. I'm excited to be here with you this week. We've got a great show for you tonight. Of course, we're talking about porn. We're talking about banning porn. And it's actually interesting how this conversation started because, of course, our movement and myself in particular, this show, we've been against porn for years. This is something that's been a part of the dissident right since it started. You know, I think maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we could go back even as far as the Proud Boys and people like that. I think banning porn and realizing how bad it is for society was kind of one of the founding beliefs, one of the original things we talked about. And finally, it seems like more mainstream conservatives are coming around to it. And the thing that started this whole conversation, which you might have seen on Twitter this weekend, I think they had ban porn trending yesterday or maybe a couple of days ago. The thing that kicked off the conversation was a letter sent in by, I think it was 3 or 4 Republican representatives to the Attorney General, asking him to use obscenity laws to start going after hardcore pornography on the internet. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the letter. We'll talk about what was in the letter, what we could do about porn, and just generally about, I think, how this shows a divide between libertarians and conservatives, like a lot of other things we've been talking about for the past couple of months. So that'll be our featured story. We'll also be looking tonight at an appearance on Tucker Carlson by Peter Diabroska, which unfortunately I didn't even get to catch. I was out of town on Friday, so I didn't even get to see this. But I saw all over Twitter people posting clips and everything else about Peter on Tucker Carlson. And I put it out on Telegram that it was almost surreal. His appearance on Tucker Carlson was so good, in my opinion, it didn't even feel real. If you guys have seen it, Peter Diabroska, I believe he used to work for Big League Politics. I think he's somewhere else now. He's running for Congress in the 7th District in North Carolina. He was on Tucker Carlson. He named Conservative Inc. He called out Turning Point USA, Daily Wire, called for a 10-year moratorium on legal immigration, did an amazing job defending that position. And I was sitting there watching the clip on Friday and on Saturday morning, and I'm thinking, like, I feel like this isn't real. I feel like it's almost too good to be true. So we'll talk a little bit about that, and it should be a pretty good show, pretty exciting. I also have to tell you, before we dive into the current events, it could be the last show ever. I know we've done this many times, this year in particular, and I think a few times even last year or the year before, but you may know that YouTube is changing their terms of service tomorrow. December 10th is the big date that everybody in the YouTube community, everybody on social media has been watching for another round of purges. And everybody says that the purges will be politically motivated. They say this because, as I said, YouTube is going to update their TOS, their terms of service, tomorrow. And there was some language within their update. I believe all the updates are publicly available, how the rules are changing. But there was some troubling language within this TOS update that has people concerned that there's going to be a new round of bans for conservatives, right-wing people, and so on. People have talked about Owen Benjamin's banning off of YouTube last week as evidence that a purge is underway or a purge is incoming. So I don't want to scaremonger. You know, I always feel bad because every time this happens, like, you know, earlier this year, I think it was with the Steven Crowder controversy, there was a big demonetization, and subsequently a lot of channels got banned, including James Alsup. I feel like there was another round of bans way earlier in this year that I don't even remember, but I remember there were a couple of scares like this year, and every time I do that, you know, people give a ton of super chats, and they're like, oh, here's a little money in case you get banned, whatever, and I always feel like, I don't want you to think I'm being dishonest, and because some people do this. Some people, it is sort of like an industry, and they do profit from ginning up fears about deplatforming and so on, but it is a reality. It is something that I'm a little bit concerned about. So who knows? You know, we've said it many times before. It could be the last episode of America First. And sometimes, you know, the fears are justified. I think every time so far they haven't been. But say a prayer. Knock on wood for me. Hopefully we'll be okay. I have to tell you, and this is my perspective, I read the TOS update. And what I noticed is YouTube, as far as I know, there's a distinction between their community guidelines and their terms of service. Community guidelines is pertaining more to the content itself, the substance of the content on YouTube, and the terms of service is more of a contract between the user and the platform regarding privacy, regarding these kinds of things. You know, so to me, updating the TOS is not the same as changing the community guidelines. As far as I'm aware, the community guidelines, they are restrictive, they are arbitrarily applied, but I don't think anything is changing with regards to the community guidelines. I think it's just the TOS. And from what I read in the TOS, I didn't see anything that affected how they're regulating the content. You know, one thing that people had a gripe with was there was a specific passage in the new TOS that says something like, features that are not economically viable or financially viable will be terminated. And everybody said, oh, no, okay, so if YouTube doesn't think my content can make them money, they're going to ban my channel. And I believe what it actually meant was YouTube features. Like if YouTube implemented, I don't know, some kind of feature on their platform, on their end, and they found that the feature was not viable, if it was not making them money, they would get rid of the feature. You know, so for like, for example, something like YouTube Editor or, you know, I don't know, their subscription service, whatever it is. I think it was more to the point, and they clarified that on Twitter. I don't know if they went in and clarified that because they were getting pushback or if it was just a misunderstanding from the beginning. But to me, that was the only thing that I saw that people were complaining about, that people could find anything in there that would indicate that their enforcement of the rules would change. Other than that, it seems to me to be pretty run-of-the-mill stuff, but I guess we'll see. So I'm not completely concerned. You know, I think Owen got banned because of a bunch of copyright strikes, and I think he's been on the shit list for a while, like a lot of other channels. You know, so to me, I don't think that was indicative of a purge underway. I think that was just another banning. These things do happen from time to time without constituting a systemic policy of going after channels, right? So I'm not totally concerned. It is always a possibility. Remember, the only way that you can follow me after this goes is on my email list. If you go to nicholasjfuentes.com and sign up for the email list, the only time I'm going to use that is in the event that I get banned from YouTube or Twitter or whatever to give you an update on where you can find my show and things like that. I don't sell it. I'm not trying to profit off of it. And I don't send out, a lot of times you sign up for an email list and then it's like you get 3 emails a day, like, oh, you know, here's a daily offer, here's a daily discount, whatever. I don't use it for that. The only other time I've used it was to tell people about America First Premium last June when that program started. So the only way you can follow me after that, which is guaranteed, is the email list. Like I said, it's nicholasjfuentes.com and Telegram to a lesser extent, which is t.me/NickJFuentes1. The link is in the description. Hopefully we don't have to worry about that, but it's always better to be safe than sorry if you want to follow me afterward. But that's YouTube. That's what's going on there. The other thing I want to talk about before we dive into the current events is the Milo show. So of course, last week we didn't have a full week of America First because I was actually flew out to New York City to do the interview in studio, to appear on Milo's show in studio on Free Speech TV. And that caught a lot of people off guard. They thought I was like Skyping in or whatever, but I actually went out to the studio and I was there with Milo. If you saw it for the interview, he posted it on YouTube. It's free for everybody to watch. I know some people are asking me, you know, where can we watch the show? Even my parents. It was like a half hour before we went live. My parents are like, be sure to text us where we can watch this. I'm like, I'm kind of like getting ready to go on the show, you know. But you can find it. It's free. It's on YouTube. I think it's on Milo's YouTube channel. You can just search it up, you know, Nick Fuentes Milo on YouTube. And of course, this was sort of like a controversial thing on both sides. And we talked a little bit about that on the show. You know, I think it was controversial, obviously, for Milo, because I don't think his audience loves me. And I know his friends don't love me. You know, some of the people that he hangs out with are appalled at my views. So me going on his show was, you know, sort of a weird thing for him. It was also weird for me. A lot of the Groypers, a lot of people who are not friendly to me on the right were saying, oh, Nick is going on Milo's show. That means he's compromised. That means he's cucking. That means he is a hypocrite or something like this. So it was a little bit controversial that I went on there, but if you watch the interview, I think it quells any doubts that people had about it, any concerns people had. You know, if Charlie Kirk invited me, and not to compare the two, but if Charlie Kirk invited me to go on his podcast, I would go on his podcast. And I think you would think it was a good idea, right? If Ben Shapiro invited me to go on his podcast, I would go on his podcast. And again, I don't think you would think it's a bad idea. The point is, we want to engage with mainstream people that have a mainstream audience. We want to take our views about demographic change, social conservatism, foreign policy, the Israel lobby, the Jewish lobby, all these things. We want to take these views and expose them to as many people as possible. We also want people to understand that the people that hold these views are legit, okay? These are legitimate grievances that we have. We have a legitimate political platform, and we are trying to get these ideas inside of the Overton window, or inside, I don't love that phrase, but inside of the range of acceptable, normal, healthy ideas within the political conversation. How do you do that? You have to go and talk to people. So a lot of people gave me grief about it. I don't know what they were expecting from the interview if I was going to go on there and say, oh, you know, all of a sudden I love, you know, multiculturalism and I love homosexuals and whatever. I came on the show, I voiced the same views that I do on this show, except to a different audience, and I think it went very well. I think we had a good conversation. Milo was a great host. He was nice to me. I think it was a very fair interview. I don't think he tried to ambush me or anything like that. I think he gave me a very fair hearing. I think it was a very friendly conversation. And of course, we obviously do disagree on some things. We agree on a lot. I think if people watch the interview, they might have been surprised to see that Milo, I think, has evolved too, as we all have over the past 4 to 5 years. And I think we agreed at the end. There was sort of, at the end of the interview, there was this resolve to say we could be sort of arm's length allies. You know, of course, we are in different movements or different factions, whatever you want to say. Obviously, he doesn't subscribe so much to racialism or racial determinism in any capacity. He's obviously a Zionist. He's obviously more soft on homosexuality in certain respects than we are. But I think there is a lot of agreement on Turning Point USA, on immigration, on some other things. And so if he's going to have us on, if he acknowledges that we are legitimate actors with legitimate grievances against the establishment, I think that makes us, to an extent, I think he said the phrase, arm's length allies. You know, if we are in different factions, maybe we're part of the same big tent, whatever. You know, I think it's kind of arbitrary, the kind of language you describe, but it was a great interview. I thought I did a great job. Everybody texted me afterwards. They said, you did a great job. You represented our ideas well. Charismatic, charming as always. I will say it's refreshing to be back on my own show. You know, people ask me all the time, why don't you do guests? Why don't you have guest appearances? And a little bit too, some of the recent media appearances on InfoWars, on the Milo show. What I love about this show is I just get to talk. I just get to talk the whole time. You know, nobody has to respond. Nobody's maybe interrupting me a little bit. I just get to talk the whole time. And I like that. It's my time. It's my hour. And I'm talking. And I'm the one talking now. So that's a little bit of soft dig there. A little bit of soft dig. It was a good interview. But as some people pointed out, hey, Nick's being interrupted a couple of times. But now that I'm on the show, now I just get to speak from the heart, right? Without anything else. But we're going to dive into the current events here tonight. Like I said, our first story is we're going to talk about Pete Dziabrowska. Am I pronouncing that correctly? I think that's right. He was on Tucker Carlson on Friday. And this was a huge story. This sent major shockwaves throughout the internet. Tucker Carlson took a lot of heat for this, but I thought it was awesome. Like I said at the top of the show, Pete used to be a writer at Big League Politics. That's where I started to follow him. His writing on there, we're mutuals on Twitter. He's been an America First guy from the beginning, very solid conservative. And he appeared on Tucker Carlson talking about his campaign. He's actually campaigning to run and be a congressman from the 7th District of North Carolina. I think he's in the Republican primary there. And he went on Tucker Carlson on Friday and talked about a 10-year moratorium on legal immigration to the United States. He also called out Turning Point USA, Daily Wire. He said they were owned by the Chamber of Commerce and owned by these various open borders interests. And I saw this interview with Pete, and to me, this was so white-pilling. I feel like the entire direction, specifically in the last like 3 to 4 months, the momentum, something about the energy has just completely changed. I feel like earlier in this year, when I first declared our fatwa against Conservative Inc., I felt like I was one of the only people pushing in the right direction. I felt like, you know, this show and maybe Patrick Casey and a few other characters, you know, Jake Lloyd, Scott Greer, Faith Goldie maybe, I felt like there were very few people that were really pushing in the right direction on the right issues with the right rhetoric, the right look, you know, smart not just on the issues but also strategically. And I feel like this year in particular, and really in the last 3 to 4 months, we have seen the rise of an actual legitimate America First movement. I don't think it's fully formed yet. I would say it's, you know, a proto-movement, nascent, latent sort of political movement. But I really do feel like in the last 3 months, some of the things we've seen in the last 8 weeks in particular really give me a lot of hope and optimism about where things are headed. Because here's an example of a guy who is writing for Big League Politics, which is more or less, I mean, it's relatively a mainstream conservative publication. And here's a guy who used to write for that publication who's now running for office. He's running for office in, you know, North Carolina. He's running for Congress. He's able to get on a show like Tucker Carlson and on Fox News in prime time say that he's in favor of a moratorium on legal immigration, calling out Turning Point USA, calling out Daily Wire. You know, this is after the Groyper Wars, everything that we've been doing. It really feels like the direction has changed, and I think that this is the future of where we're at. I thought his rhetoric in particular was very solid. He said, we want a moratorium on legal immigration, and Tucker said, you know, you can't say that, that's, and he was sort of pantomiming, you know, what Conservative Inc. says, you're not allowed to say that, you're just supposed to be against illegal immigration. And Pete said, well, we have to define what we mean. He said a moratorium on legal immigration means we want net zero immigration. 200,000 people leave the country every year. If we could bring in 200,000 legal immigrants per year as opposed to 1 million, that would be a start for 10 years. He said, and he defended it on largely economic grounds, talking about how legal immigrants are coming in and taking middle class jobs. They're taking jobs away from college graduates, taking jobs away from STEM graduates in particular, in addition to taking working class people's jobs. You know, this is sort of the new phenomenon, is the higher wage jobs or the college graduate jobs, the STEM jobs. And he said that we have to differentiate between the free market capitalism of Wall Street and the free market capitalism of Main Street. I thought that rhetoric was golden. And just the entire appearance, him, Tucker, to me, I just sort of saw in that moment, it was like looking into a crystal ball, the future in 2020, and even beyond, even past Donald Trump, whether he wins or loses in 2020, you know, or whether he's out of office by 2024. But it was like looking into a crystal ball and seeing what is the future for us as a movement and the future of conservatism. I think there is something viable. And this is why, by the way, a lot of people are beginning to bend the knee to the Groypers, and they're listening to us, and they're retweeting our content, and they're saying these guys have good ideas. It's because this is the future. Talking about restricting not just illegal immigration, but legal immigration. Talking about reorienting conservatism away from liberty and towards order. Away from libertinism, secularism, progressivism light, and towards a more authoritarian brand of conservatism. A more traditional Christian brand of conservatism. Across the board, I think this is the future of the right wing in America. And, you know, you look at people like Charlie Kirk and Ben Shapiro and all the rest, they're on the defensive against this stuff. You know, they are obviously more established and they have more resources and more money at the time. But I think if anybody's been paying attention in the last 2 to 3 months, they can see clearly where the trajectory is. Who has the momentum? Who has the energy? Who's rising and who's falling? I think clearly the America First right is exponentially rising. Now, of course, we went from a very, very small movement to something that has just penetrated the mainstream. But I think that if we look at the next year in particular, the 2020 elections and beyond, I think this is the future of the cause. So it's very exciting. You know, when I say trust the plan, and I don't want to take credit, obviously, for Pete being on Tucker. You know, I'm not Tucker Carlson, obviously. And, you know, Pete and I have been mutuals for some time. I'm not taking credit for that. But I am saying trust the plan in the sense that this America First optics, strategy, persuasiveness, all the things we've been talking about for the past 2 years are finally bearing fruit. And they're changing the conversation. And ultimately, once they change the conversation, you'll change outcomes. You will start to change policy. You know, who knows? I think after 2020, maybe in 2022, 2024, could we see candidates in several states or dozens of states like Pete Diabrowska advocating for a moratorium on legal immigration? Could we see that, you know, just in the same way that you had congressmen running in 2018, inspired by Donald Trump, could you have people running in 2022 and 2024 inspired by America First, inspired by the Groypers? You know, in other words, building upon what Trump did in 2016 and incrementally moving the window rightward, moving the conversation, and subsequently moving policy rightward. I think that is the future. You know, and a lot of people have gotten on my case in the last, couple of months because we support Donald Trump. A lot of people have said, and I think Milo brought this up when I was on the Milo show on Friday. He said, well, you know, Donald Trump is a Zionist, and Donald Trump is in favor of homosexuals, and Donald Trump is in favor of mass legal immigration. So that begs the question, if you're a Trump supporter, you know, what do you have to say about all these discrepancies? What do you have to say about all these obvious differences, which seem to be pretty consequential and foundational? And I've been hearing a lot of the same from Wignats and other characters. They say, oh, well, but you're still voting for Donald Trump. Of course, we have to take what Donald Trump did, the movement that he created, which is not, it's not necessarily so much about Donald Trump himself or his platform in particular. It's about the right wing, a specifically nationalist and populist right wing, standing up against the establishment, standing up against the mainstream, against the Bush Republican Party, all that kind of stuff. How can we take that and build upon it? How can we take America First and refine it and, in some sense, purify it, make it more coherent? Because I don't think it makes a lot of sense given some of the policies that Donald Trump has been pushing. So I saw that interview on Friday, and I didn't really tweet so much this weekend. I wasn't really on social media. I was kind of busy. I was traveling. I was on the show. I was on a stream the other day. But I did just want to point out, I saw that interview on Friday. It's so important that we acknowledge the kind of progress that represents, that this is a primetime show on Fox News on Friday, and you've got a congressional candidate saying we need a 10-year moratorium on legal immigration, and the host is sympathetic. That's huge, huge, and very white-pilling. And it's important to say that, too, because I know last week was a little bit black-pilling. I forget what exactly we were talking about, what story in particular. I think it might have been about immigration or something, but or the border wall, something like that. But it's important to say, look, we are changing the conversation. And it's actually a perfect segue. I don't think it's any more evident than in this porn conversation that's been happening this weekend. So our main story tonight is actually about pornography. And it's interesting the way that this came into the news. A lot of people are wondering, like, where did this come from? Certain people, I think I saw Sticks Hexenhammer from YouTube. He said that all this was astroturfed, inorganic, artificial. People were wondering, why are people talking this weekend on Twitter and elsewhere about banning pornography? I saw the Daily Wire crowd. Very interesting. They were standing up against pornography. This is the big conversation that was being had. And the conversation actually originated with a letter authored by four Republican congressmen last week. And here's a little article about this from National Review. It's interesting because a lot of people picked up on the conversation. I don't think as many people picked up on where it came from, but this is what I think kicked it all off. It says, four Republican representatives have sent a letter to Attorney General Bill Barr calling on the Department of Justice to enforce obscenity laws as a means of reducing hardcore pornography that meets the legal tests for obscenity, especially pornography involving children. The letter, signed by Jim Banks of Indiana, Mark Meadows of North Carolina, Vicky Hartzler of Missouri, and Brian Babin of Texas, was provided exclusively to National Review and reminds the Justice Department of Donald Trump's promise as a presidential candidate to enforce obscenity laws against the porn industry. It says, quote, "The internet and other evolving technologies are fueling the explosion of obscene pornography by making it more accessible and visceral. This explosion in pornography coincides with an increase in violence towards women, which is terrible, and an increase in the volume of human trafficking as well as child pornography. In a comment provided to National Review via email, Banks outlined what he sees as the chief harms from this increased exposure to pornography. He says, quote, and online obscenity and pornography, or rather, as online obscenity and pornography consumption have increased, so too is violence towards women. Overall, volume of human trafficking has increased and is now the third largest criminal enterprise in the world. Child pornography is on the rise as one of the fastest growing online businesses with an annual revenue of over $3 billion. The United States has nearly 50% of all commercialized child pornography websites. Pornography is ubiquitous in our culture, and our children are being exposed at younger ages. 9 in every 10 boys under the age of 18 have seen porn. Children are struggling with pornography addiction. The representatives note in their letter that 15 state legislatures have declared pornography to be a public health crisis, particularly due to its ubiquity and its effects on children. They also point out that Barr focused on prosecuting obscenity laws in the early 1990s when he served as the Attorney General under President George H.W. Bush and, as they put it, quote, dramatically decreased child pornography in America. But, as the congressman notes, under President Obama's administration, Attorney General Eric Holder disbanded the Obscenity Prosecution Task Force in the Criminal Division of the Justice Department, which had prioritized prosecuting obscenity cases. Now, these representatives urge Barr to, quote, declare the prosecution of obscene pornography a criminal justice priority and make it a defining issue of the Trump administration. So that is from National Review. This, to me, is what kicked off the conversation, because I don't think anybody was talking about porn before this. And it's very interesting where people have sided on this issue. I've been surprised that some people have gone in favor of this letter and the spirit of this letter, some people going even a little bit further and saying to ban porn altogether. That's the title of this show. This is where my head's at. This is where the Groypers are at. A lot of other people have rushed to defend porn, which to me is kind of inexcusable, right? To me, this is a defining issue of the 21st century, obviously, and more broadly about technology and about the genders and tradition and so on, but also within conservatism, because you do have, and I've seen this, you can look it up if you search up ban porn or, you know, anything pursuant or rather related to this article this weekend, and you've got all the typical libertarian, classical liberal type conservatives rushing to defend the pornography industry. And it's fascinating. To me, this highlights the fundamental breakdown in conservative values. Why would people, in response to this letter, rush to defend pornography? Rush to defend the legality of pornography, the ubiquity of pornography? Rush to defend pornography even from regulation? You know, there's been some, I will say there's been some variation in reaction to this letter and on this conversation in general. You know, some people said outright ban porn. Some people said don't regulate porn at all. Some people in the middle say, well, you shouldn't ban it, but there should be regulations. But there are people out there saying, no, no, don't regulate it, don't ban it, just leave it alone. You've got this epidemic, what, again, many states have called a public health emergency, a public health crisis. And of course, we all know this. If you know anything about internet porn or about the state of children and adolescents and sexuality today, you know this is a crisis. And people are saying we must do nothing, or maybe we shouldn't do anything, but certainly the government should not do anything. And what are the grounds under which people are defending ubiquitous, legal internet pornography? Well, they say that if you start to ban pornography, that it'll be a slippery slope and you'll have to ban other things. They say that banning internet pornography is a violation of the First Amendment, which I find, by the way, fascinating. The same conservatives that will come out and say, I should be banned from the internet, right? The same conservatives will come out and say, Twitter does not have to abide by the First Amendment because they're a private company. They will rush to defend pornography under the First Amendment. But they say, in other words, on totally conceptual grounds, that pornography must remain legal and unregulated. Their argument says that the only contest against porn regulations is conceptual. If you ban porn, you're violating some kind of unspoken social contract. You're breaking the rules, breaking this libertarian idea of individual liberty and, I don't know, I guess the freedom of 11-year-olds to go on Pornhub. And on the other side, of course, you've got people saying either that you need severe regulations for porn, the Justice Department must prosecute hardcore pornography, we should regulate it to keep it from children, or some are saying to outright ban pornography. What's the basis for this argument? Well, the people on this side, and I am on this side, the basis for that argument is that porn is causing harm. Porn is destroying our society. It is hurting, in particular, children and young people. Children and young people who then grow up to be adults. And when people start on porn early, or they become addicted to it, or even if they just habitually use pornography, it damages their relationships with women, because this is largely a male problem. We're talking about young men and young boys in particular. Not that women don't consume porn, but it is predominantly a male problem. These young men grow up and they find it hard. They struggle with finding girlfriends, with wives. It interferes with their sexuality. So in other words, the basis for these two positions, the basis for banning porn, is based on tangible harm, real harm to society. We see that something is hurting our children, it's hurting families, it's hurting marriages and relationships. In short, there's almost no tangible benefits from having this the way that it is, from having hardcore pornography being readily accessible and ubiquitous on the internet, and specifically available for young people. There is a tangible harm. It is terrible. And on this side, people are saying we should not regulate it and we should not ban it because of something conceptual, because of something that is totally abstract, because to ban porn would violate principles of free speech or the First Amendment or something like that. And I find it amazing because here I think you see laid out pretty clearly, I think it's pretty hard to ignore, the major differences between libertarian conservatives and conservatives. First of all, you see that there is a difference in the first place. A lot of people deny that this exists because I think for the last maybe 10 years, I think you could say even the last 40 years since Ronald Reagan got into office, a lot of conservatives would obfuscate and say that libertarianism is conservatism. Individual liberty, small government, freedom to choose, secularism in some sense, is conservatism. Being opposed to big government is conservatism. These are all libertarian beliefs, but for 40 years, people would conflate the two, and they would deny that there's even a difference. You know, even in the last 2 to 3 months, people would say, oh, Nick Fuentes is not conservative, and the Groypers are not conservative because they're hardcore Christians, and they're against legal immigration, and they're in some sense in favor of big government, or at the bare minimum, they don't care about small government. So, on one level, I think the cleavage on this issue, no pun intended, that people are siding on different sides of the porn issue shows that there is a substantial and significant difference between libertarian conservatives or conservatarians and actual traditional conservatives, classical conservatives. Beyond that, it shows you the nature of the difference. What does it mean to be a real conservative, a traditional conservative, a classical conservative, and what does it mean to be a libertarian conservative? Well, in this argument, more than any other, you see that the libertarian conservatives are autistically, perhaps, fixated and focused on abstract principles, things that are conceptual. In other words, things on paper, things that are written about in books, academia. They are not concerned about children. They are not concerned about families. In other words, they are not concerned about tangible consequences of things happening in our society. They are not concerned with tangible problems that people face every day or tangible ways to solve them consequentially. They're concerned about abstract threats to abstract principles. You know, libertarian conservatives want to go back and forth about the size of government and the role of government and the relationship of government with its citizens. In short, things that are not real. You know, what does it mean, the size of government, the role of government? None of this has any practical reality. Conservatives have been talking about small government for 40 years. The United States government is the biggest government in the history of the world. And it's not changing anytime soon. And these libertarian conservatives, by the way, are fundamentally uninterested in shrinking it when it comes to things that actually matter, like war, right? Like when it comes to the Afghanistan war or the Iraq war or the coming war in Iran, right? So in other words, the people on this side, libertarian conservatives, are concerned about things that are written about in books. They are concerned about abstract principles that happen on the plane of ideas, the marketplace of ideas, that, well, if we ban porn, what would that say about the founding documents and things like this? They are concerned with words. Real conservatives are concerned with real, practical, tangible problems. We see that porn is destroying our society. That is not an exaggeration, folks. That is not scaremongering. The average age at which American men discover porn, or I should say boys, is 11. That is the average age when American males discover porn, when they're 11 years old. That's before they get into middle school, that they're seeing hardcore pornography. And we know that the scourge of internet porn is different from pornography in the past. You know, people have said, well, porn has been around forever. And what are you going to do? Are you going to have a China-style internet censorship regime? You know, where does it stop? Where does it begin? You know, these are the kinds of contentions we're hearing from the libertarian-type conservatives. The difference is the internet. Porn is now ubiquitous, easily accessible, and it is more hardcore and deviant than ever. It's not just that kids are going down to 7-Eleven or they're going to the convenience store and they're buying a Playboy magazine where, you know, and again, that's not to say that Playboy magazine is good or there's nothing problematic about it, but you do have to go to a vendor in the real world, you know, with your face, your person. There are regulations put in place for buying magazines like this for what it's worth. And also, if you do acquire a copy of Playboy magazine, it is, you know, again, relative to what we're seeing online, normal, and I don't want to say tasteful, but relative to what we see online, it's not as extreme. What we're seeing now is that children, they could be as young as 5, 6 years old. They say that some of the statistics are insane. It's like 20% of people under the age of 18 who have seen pornography are under the age of 9. You know, so we're talking about people, the average age is 11, but that means that people much younger than 11 are seeing pornography. And it's easily accessible. They can go on there anywhere on the internet. In many cases, you can stumble upon it without even looking for it directly. And what are they finding? Are they finding pictures of naked women? Which, again, would not be good. But what are they finding instead? They're finding things of people in animal costumes. They're finding things which I don't even want to describe on the show. You know, use your imagination or don't. But you understand that the internet has not just made pornography ubiquitous and accessible, but it has also made it more extreme. It has also made it more hardcore and more deviant because people are accessing porn all the time. You know, people have talked about this issue of novelty, that when people are chasing pornography and the dopamine hit that it creates or the serotonin, you know, whatever, the happiness chemicals that it triggers in your brain, eventually you build up something akin to tolerance like you would in drugs. And that's why you see homosexuality, transgenderism, all kinds of other deviant forms or expressions of sexuality are off the charts in terms of how many people are subscribing to that, how many people are engaging with that on a daily basis. So this problem is very unique. It is very new. It is very specific. We're not talking about pornography in the sense of Penthouse and Playboy magazines that you would have encountered 30 years ago. We're talking about ubiquitous, easily accessible, hardcore pornography that is being accessed by children on the internet with no regulation, no oversight, and which any child can stumble upon. And, you know, look at how many kids these days have smartphones, iPads, things like that, where they can find pornography anywhere using these things. And people are on these devices all day long. I'm on my iPhone like 10, 12 hours a day. Imagine what it's like for a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old. This is the problem we're talking about. Pornography is shown to damage brains. It's shown to completely rewire how your brain works, how you think about sexuality, how you interact with women, or in the case of women consuming pornography, it's much less rare, how they relate to men. This is a public health emergency. Real conservatives see this. They see a tangible problem, and we want to put a stop to it. We don't want to start an advocacy campaign. We don't want to start an NGO or a non-for-profit and put up provocative advertisements. They're going to try and get people to think about their porn habits. Hey, should you really engage with pornography? Hey, parents, you should look at what your kids are watching. And we're supposed to hope that the problem solves itself? Pornography is a trillion-dollar industry in this country. This is who we are up against. We're also up against one of the strongest impulses, passions, vices that exist in human beings. This kind of stuff is not going to cut it. This kind of libertarian conservative fantasy of we just must simply use the marketplace of ideas to convince people to live a certain way, it's not going to cut it. We are not going to allow pornography to destroy our society, to destroy the family, destroy young men, destroy Christianity and social values, because we don't want to get our hands dirty and start to obstruct or limit some of the things that are happening on the internet. A real conservative would say this is a real problem. It is a real threat to our children, and we're going to put a stop to it by any means necessary. That might mean the government gets involved. Oh, I know, that's so terrifying. You know, a lot of these conservatives are fine with the government going to war against Iran. They're fine with the government going to war against Israel's enemies. But the government starts to go to war against pornography, and suddenly that is a severe violation of what the founders intended. They want the government to go to war against so-called white nationalists or racists or anti-Semites, anybody that criticizes Israel. They will be subject to anti-BDS laws in Florida, in Texas. There was a case in Texas of a tutor working for a public school who got fired because she wouldn't sign a loyalty pledge to Israel. Conservatives have no problem with big government there, and specifically no problem with big government intrusions or regulations on free speech when it comes to that country, or when it comes to their lobby, or the people that pay for their media outlet, their website, right? When it's the Wilkes brothers, when it's the Mercers, when it's Charlie Kirk and his donors, they don't seem to have a problem with big government. But when it's people coming after our children and our families, that's when they're going to write these puff pieces in Town Hall and National Review and say, here's why banning pornography is against the First Amendment. I don't think so. The government should step in and at the bare minimum regulate it. At the bare minimum, they should regulate this like financial transactions online. You know, why is it that you can't start a PayPal account without giving them your license and your bank account and all the rest, but you can access hardcore pornography? At the bare minimum, it should be regulated like that. And at the most, you should just ban it outright. And the question you have to ask yourself is, what positive good does it create for society to have internet pornography the way that we do? What is that doing for us? You know, people say, well, you have to have it because of freedom. Okay, well, why? It's the same thing with drugs. It's the same thing with a lot of other issues. We look at something like marijuana or pornography, you know, across the board, things that are bad. People talk about a slippery slope. What's wrong with the slippery slope? We know things are bad for people. Pornography is bad for you. We know this. We have the knowledge. You know what? You could demonstrate it empirically with studies and research. You could also just look at the Bible. We know it is not good for people. We know what is best for people, that they should not be consuming pornography. What is the argument to keep it the way that it is? People say, well, people just access it anyway. Okay. Well, if people want to go on the dark web, or people want to go to a different country, or people want to go and buy a Playboy magazine, well, let them. But why should we not begin to start to reel this in? Why should we not start to begin to move in the other direction? Because it'll still exist? Nobody's arguing pornography will cease to exist if the government regulates it. But it won't be as bad as it is right now, and that's worth something. That is worth something for children. That is worth something for families. That is worth something for married couples. You got to ask yourself, who is out there pushing this kind of stuff? You also have to examine your own biases. You know, a lot of people are okay with banning something that they don't have a problem with, right? That they don't struggle with, that they don't have an issue with. You know, for example, if you're not smoking marijuana, maybe you have no problem with banning weed. But if you use pornography, well, suddenly, oh, hey, we can't ban pornography. Or if you use pornography, but you don't smoke weed. You know, or vice versa. If you don't use pornography, but you smoke weed, well, yeah, ban pornography, but don't ban my weed. Take a look across the board at who is defending which of these different things. A lot of the times, it's only the people that are addicted to it. It's the people that are in love with it. They don't understand the harm it's even doing to themselves, that they're out there advocating for this stuff to remain the way it is. They want to protect the status quo. That in itself is indicative of the problem. We have to, you know, whether it's the whole country or if it's even a very small part of the country, we must do what is best for the society. That is what the government is supposed to do. It is supposed to protect its people. Somebody is supposed to protect its people, at the very least to protect the children in the society, right? When nobody else is willing to do that. So I see this porn conversation, and to me, it's a huge kudos to the congressmen that are supporting this. It is Jim Banks, it's Mark Meadows, it's Vicky Hartzler and Brian Babin. As I said in this article, what kicked off this whole conversation was actually very, very moderate. All they said was that Bill Barr should go after hardcore pornography, specifically child pornography, using obscenity laws, which we did 30 years ago. You know, so this is a very modest proposal, but it started an important conversation, which is very much, I don't want to make it not about pornography. It is very much about pornography. That is a very important conversation to have. But it is also, I think, a much bigger conversation within conservatism about what are we going to do? We all recognize that our society has gone in a bad direction. Hasn't exactly worked out the way we thought it would. Shining city on a hill. You know, all this stuff that Ronald Reagan promised us or the founding fathers promised us. Something has gone very wrong. Something has gone awry. There's trash in the streets. There is shit in the streets, human excrement. People are on drugs. You're talking about medieval diseases that are coming back. Crime is coming back in a huge way. Marriages are being destroyed. Families are being destroyed. Deviancy is being promoted. Do these conservatives have an answer for any of that other than to say, let the free market sort it out? In other words, keep subscribing to CRTV. Keep subscribing to Blaze TV. Stay there. We're going to be right back after the commercial break. Don't move from your recliner. Just keep going to work tomorrow morning and just trust that the free market and all these professional advocates and self-perpetuating systems, that one day that'll produce a good outcome. I think the country is hell right now. And that might be an exaggeration. You could say, well, you could buy a cheap flat screen TV. But I think everybody knows that the society that we've created is off the rails. Something has gone terribly wrong. And who among us is going to do something about it? What are the answers? These people don't have any. Their answers are, we're supposed to host all these different conferences, right? We're supposed to host more conversations between David French and Ross Douthat and, you know, what's the guy's name from Hillbilly Elegy. We're supposed to have more consortiums and more conferences and symposiums of intellectuals jerking each other off. Again, no pun intended. In this show, in this conversation, while our country slips through our fingers while we watch, while our children are being corrupted every day, we have to have a movement that has answers. We have to have a movement that's willing to take action, that's willing to do something about it. Get in the government and pass a law that says the people making hardcore pornography will be put in jail. The people responsible for destroying and hollowing out our society will be put in jail. We need somebody willing to say and do that. If you look at some of these, and we know who's producing the pornography, by the way. It's the same people producing the wars and producing the mixed race advertisements and the people producing all these Hollywood pictures. It's all the same people. We need to look at pornography and say, you are culpable. You have responsibility. Just like the people in the pharmaceutical companies and the arms contractors and everybody else, somebody must take action. The people that are doing this to this country are real. They have addresses. They give money to politicians. We know who they are. These people have to be held accountable for what they've done. It has been done to us. Not an accident that this society has been created. Somebody's profiting off of Pornhub. Somebody's profiting off of 11-year-olds watching this stuff and their lives being destroyed. Somebody made money off of that. They created algorithms. They hired Google engineers. They hired engineers from foreign countries to come over here and to write SEO-friendly search algorithms so the 11-year-olds would find this stuff and get hooked on it and they'd be addicted for life. Where's the accountability for them? That should be a crime. And it's across the board. This is just one issue among others that until very recently, conservatives just simply would not talk about. They want to talk about deregulation. They want to talk about, you know, you see various congressmen running for office. They talk about pornography. Do they talk about heroin? Do they talk about Vicodin and opioids? Do they talk about foreign wars, blowing people up? Or do they come up and say, I'm going to be a business-friendly conservative, whatever the fuck that means. Enough is enough. We need answers. And that's a call to action for pornography. It's a big kudos to the people that wrote this letter. And like I said, very modest proposal from then, but it's a start. And this is what we need to see. We need people that have courage. We need people that are real conservatives, that actually care about the people they're representing, and not the donors that pay for their campaigns. But this is a start. It's exciting to see that this conversation is happening. It's exciting to see that people are starting to wake up to this stuff. Because you know what? It's not right to advocate for this, and it's also not cool. You know, at the end of the day, I think what we represent, what is good about this show and our community, the Groypers, the Zoomers, whatever you want to call it, is we're showing there's also nothing cool. There's nothing fresh. There's nothing edgy. We will not allow Benny Johnson and Charlie Kirk and all these others to bill themselves as a cool alternative to leftism when they're advocating for Zionist wars, right? Or they're advocating for pornography. They're advocating for homosexuality and degeneracy. It's not cool. And I think Zoomers are starting to realize that. They see all this inauthentic BS, fakers, phonies, people that are in on the take, and they see what's actually authentic. And that's Christianity, that's God, that's conservatism, that's lifting weights, not doing porn, all that, right? And they're starting to realize who's the real deal. So I am very optimistic seeing this conversation and who is lining up on what side of the issue. It's not surprising in many ways. Some surprises, but generally speaking, it's not surprising who's taking what side over the other. But this is the direction we need to head in. It's very encouraging to see that this is being talked about. These are the issues conservatives must concern themselves with. In other words, tangible, real issues that affect real people. Not all this pie in the sky, intellectual crap. But that's the porn ban. I'm in favor of a porn ban. I'm in favor of regulation, all of it. We need to start putting these people in jail. They should be held accountable. That's where I stand, in case it wasn't clear. It probably was clear, but to say it explicitly, we are in favor of that on this show. We're going to move on. We're going to take a look at our super chats. We'll see what you guys are saying about all this. I know there's probably broad agreement from the Groypers, from the America Firsters. Time to put the foot down. Time to put the big foot of government down on people that are actually doing harm. Enough is enough. I'm so sick of seeing the government go after our guys. Let's make the government go after our enemies, right? Everybody always says, like, oh, well, if you start to ban things that you don't like, well, one day the government's going to ban things that you do like. Okay, well, then let's control the government, right? You know, I said this the other day. I was talking to Cammie, who I was streaming with yesterday. And, you know, we were talking about this conversation we hear so often. People say, what form of government is the best? People ask me this all the time in the super chats. Nick, what is your ideology? What do you think is the ideal form of government? The ideal form of government is the one that we are in charge of. That is the ideal form of government. That's the only conversation I want to have. Anyway, what is your ideology? My ideology is I want to wield power and we want to protect Christianity and protect children, protect families. That's my ideology. And hell with everything else. Everything else is unserious. But let's take a look. We've got Mr. Corgi, who says, but Nick is a Fed. How come every person slightly more right than alt-right happens to be a Fed? Cope. Yeah, well, I am a Fed. I am a federal agent. I am an alien. I work for China. I work for NASA. I work for Iran. I work for Steve Bannon. I work for Alexander Dugin. I work for Russia. All of this is true. I work for Charlie Kirk. I work for Turning Point USA. Groyper Wars, big publicity stunt to promote Charlie Kirk. That was one theory I heard. Yeah, a lot of conspiracy theories. Nick the Stick says, hey, Nick, thoughts? Okay. Foy says, say no to dogs and daughters. Yeah, factual. Yeah, I want sons. Maybe one daughter, but we want mostly sons. Daniel says, who's worse, lab coats or togas? What is your citation for something argument versus Marxist or libertarian pseudo-philosophers that prattle endlessly? Okay, I don't know. I'm struggling to follow this one. What's worse, lab coats or toga? What is a toga? So it's people that are saying, what's your citation versus pseudo-philosophers that prattle endlessly? I would say they're in the same, we're talking about intellectuals. Intellectuals are, they got to go, they all got to go. Lab coats, togas. I don't say they're togas, maybe bow ties would be more apropos. Lab coats or bow ties, fixed it for you. I would say they're virtually the same. I mean, they're both intellectuals that prattle endlessly about nonsense. Jordan says the amount of Coomer conservatives that outed themselves this weekend has been a total vindication of the rising traditional right. Love you, big guy. Hey, love you too. It's true. It is a vindication. It shows who's really with us and, you know, who's really with us. That doesn't make sense. You know, who's with us and then who's really with us. With the hand gestures, I think it works a little better. It's true. Because a lot of people pay lip service to this traditional stuff, but then they turn around and they don't want to do anything about it. Okay, well, then you're not serious. Well, I'm traditional, but I don't think we should get rid of porn because that's just not okay and blah, blah, blah. Why? What is defensible about the current system? There's nothing defensible about this. It just has to be stopped. A local politician says, hey, Nick, you're a really good dancer. I know. You know who's not? This super chatter for putting in a stale meme. Thanks a lot. Iran soccer fan says, for every Mossad agent on your tail, there's an Iranian Quds Force agent guarding you in the shadows. Like Arnold in Terminator 2. You're safe. Keep it up, big guy. That's right. It's sort of like I have two angels on either shoulder. You know, a Mossad agent and an Iranian, and a brave Iranian, a brave member of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, a brave soldier of the Assad regime, right? You know, for every Zionist that tries to take me out, a brave soldier from Assad's army, a brave Iranian Quds Force specialist is guarding over me. Watchful protector, right? Yeah, I know I'm going to catch... Somebody's going to clip that one of these days and say, here's the evidence that Nick is an Iranian shill. You know, every week it's a different country. Alex says, hey, Nick, my autistic son turns 14 today. Can I get a shout-out for his birthday? Yeah, happy birthday to your autistic son. Based Leaf says, never coom before a marriage, not even once. Exactly right. If you can help yourself, it's best not to coom at all before a marriage. Exactly right. Neighborhood Nationalist says, name a more powerful duo than Nick and Lolly Sox. I'll wait. Pretty powerful duo. Pretty powerful bros. We have the Chad Nord and the Chad Med. And it really is that sort of Med Nord meme. Of course, you've got the Black Nord on one side of the Epic Handshake and the Aryan Med on the other side. It's like that meme. Together, together. And it is the Nordic Lolly Sox and the Med Nick. Shaking hands, even if he is sort of a cringe fedora on some things. Nah, but it was a pretty good stream yesterday. Thomas says, bro, you have got to read this book. It's so on point about literally everything. It's called 1984 by George Orwell. Oh, really? I'll have to write that down. Yeah, I'll check that one out. 1984 was supposed to be a warning, not an instruction manual. People that talk about 1984 unironically, I mean... Another class of people that belong in jail. Another class of people that should be interned, that should be put in work camps. Yeah, I'm just... That book should just be torched. It's a bunch of Anglo nonsense. Most of it's just not even true. Brunetto says, smash or pass, Timmy Thick. Definitely going to pass on Timmy Thick. But I haven't heard that name in a long time. Jack says, this Saturday I was walking home near Auburn campus and someone recognized my America First hat, said you were based... White-pilled again. Wow, see? Knickers everywhere, behind every bush. There'll be a Groiper behind every bush. It's true. We're everywhere. We are everywhere. We are rising. Ed Lundgren says this, Joe Basrawi guy is worse than I thought. His YouTube channel has only 40 subscribers, but it has an interview with a self-described National Socialist who Joe says is a Groiper. Dirty tricks. Yeah, this is kind of old news. Yeah, he had a fake Groiper come in, a wig gnat, to say, I'm a Nazi. Yeah, we disavow that. Everybody knows that. Elevated Squirrel says, loved your appearance on Milo. He tried to make you budge a few times on certain issues, and you didn't. Much respect. Good job. Thanks. I don't know if he tried to make me budge. He was just, you know, in some cases, he was playing devil's advocate. In some cases, he was just legitimately arguing. But, yeah, I think people, and this is what is so frustrating, is... Maybe the expectation by some of the critics, they're really haters, was I was going to go on that show and compromise on everything. If you watch the interview, it was literally America First, but just on Milo's show. In other words, it was me saying all the things I say in America First to Milo in a conversation for a different audience, you know, which I think is, I don't know how that's supposed to be controversial, but thanks. Tyronius says something about coon brains. Okay. John Pants says, hey, King, if you were stuck on a desert island, it can only take one bro to help you survive. Would it be Kensney, Jake Lloyd, or Patrick Casey? No eating each other. Desert island and a survivalist. Well, you know, I'm going to have to say that Kensney is probably, I like the guy a lot, but he's younger than me. So what does he really have to offer in the way of survival? You know, if anything, I would have to help him. Right, because he is an adolescent. Not a dig. Love the guy, but if we're talking about a desert island, I'm going to need somebody who's got a little bit of more survival wherewithal. Jake Lloyd is a veteran. He is a Marine, right, or something like that. He is a soldier, U.S. Army soldier. So Jake Lloyd, old Colgate from the war. You know, he's got some skills. Then again, Patrick Casey. You know, this guy is. He works out. He's physically fit. He seems very practical. He's very much, he is a very by-the-book sort of a guy. You know, he strikes me as very disciplined. So that's a sort of a tough call. I would say that Kensney, as an artist, as a comedian, you know, that is going to be maybe problematic. We're probably too similar in temperament. Jake Lloyd is a soldier. I'm sure he was taught lessons in the Army about survivalism. Patrick Casey, then again, just very practical, very ordered. That's a tough one. I'm going to probably have to go with Jake Lloyd only because he was in the Army. What is he in? He was in some kind of a service. All I know is I thank him for his service. I'm going to have to go with Jake Lloyd. Not a dig at the others. The others are fantastic. I love them. But, you know, Jake Lloyd is a U.S. Army veteran. He's probably got the survival skills we're going to need. Mark says, have you ever been to the restaurant called Old Town in Lamont? Epic Polish food. No, I've never been to Old Town in Lamont. I don't really eat Polish food. Why would I eat Polish food when I can eat Italian food? I don't really. Some of these people, I hung out with somebody maybe like a year ago, and they were like, do you have any European restaurants in your neighborhood? I'm like, what does that mean? He's like a German restaurant. I'm like, who would ever want to eat at a German restaurant? Who would ever want to eat at a Polish restaurant? I mean, I don't know. Some of the Polish food is good. Well, like pierogies and stuff like that. I mean, I guess. But what else do you really have, though? Like greasy sausage, greasy whatever. No, I go in for, and then, you know, I guess I eat greasy food. I guess it's different. But I go in for cheeseburger, okay? I go in for Italian food. I go in for pasta, pizza, and occasionally Mexican. I don't know why anyone would have to resort to Polish food. Maybe if everything else was closed. But not a dig at the Poles. I love Polish people. But I'm just saying, I just have to assert a little bit of med cultural superiority there. I don't really go in for the... I've never said to myself, boy, I've got a big taste for Polish food today. I've got a taste for, you know, whatever. The smorgasbord. Gonna take a pass. Sarah says, we need a Catboy Nick update. I don't know what you mean. What do you mean an update? Anon says, Supreme Court be like gay marriage and abortion? That's totally in the Constitution. The right of people to keep and bear arms? What do the founders mean by this? Yeah, the Constitution is pretty incredible. It has been used and invoked only to defend things that are bad for us and brushed to the side to, you know, when they try to go after things that are good for us. So, political speech... about immigration and race, that is not protected. Free speech on the internet, not protected. Firearms, not protected. But pornography, abortion, gay marriage, oh, it's all in there, right? You love to see it. Ben says, Matt Walsh talked about banning porn today. Sadly, his show got way more dislikes than likes, proving Daily Wire audience are libertarians. He tried. Yeah, they are all libertarians. And look, Matt Walsh is not our friend. I see a lot of people retweeting Matt Walsh. I see a lot of people saying, oh, Matt Walsh is actually based. He is not based, okay? He is a social conservative, which is a good position. But this guy is not our friend. This guy is not our ally. Somebody like this will go after you if you are not on board with mass immigration, as he did with me. Somebody like Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles, yeah, okay, they might talk about banning porn. If somebody like us comes up and says, oh, hi, my fellow Catholic, I'm against porn as well. If you're not on board with them with racial egalitarianism and all that, they are going to dox you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to call you white nationalist and so on. So it is a necessary component, but it is not sufficient, not good enough. These people do not want us in the conversation. They don't want to mainstream us. In a way, they're trying to co-opt what we're trying to talk about. They want this part of tradition, but not the other part. They want this part of Catholicism, not the other part. They want to be against porn, but they want to bring in all the people who are going to vote for Democrats. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Jemaya says there is a UFC fight between Colby Covington and Kamaru. Colby wears a MAGA hat and is close to the Trumps. Kamaru is a Nigerian immigrant who went by Marty in college. Thoughts on the UFC? Okay, I don't know. Thoughts on the UFC? I don't really have a strong opinion on it. I don't watch it. I don't think I've ever watched it. It's kind of silly to me. I don't really have any thoughts on the UFC. Eddie Cade says, took your advice, Nick, and just went up and talked to her. It was brutal. I got rejected, so I took her by the back of the head and brapped in her face. Well, I disavow that. Anand says, those world leaders laughing at Trump, maybe the U.S. should leave NATO and pull these Europoors' defense budget, leaving them helpless. See who's laughing. I agree, we should do that. Maga says, good job on your Milo interview. I was impressed. Oh, I'm glad I impressed you. Phil says, look here, look, listen, okay? Mark says, if you want your children to look like you and marry within your race, that's okay. But if you don't care about this aspect and marry outside your race, that's also okay. Do you disagree? And if so, why? Well, what do you mean by okay? I mean, it's kind of asinine to say that people will marry based on their values. Oh, if you value your race, you will marry within your race. If you don't, you can marry outside. Okay, I don't know what point you're trying to make there. Yeah, people are going to do what they want. But I don't know why this is such an area of contention. I don't think people should do it. I don't want to do it. I wouldn't want that for my kids. And I don't see why people do it. I see it's profoundly disrespectful to their ancestors. I think it's profoundly disordered. I think it's somewhat disturbing on a certain level. Now, again, I've got friends that are in mixed relationships. And there's nothing sinful about it. There's nothing morally wrong about it. But I just don't get it. I don't get why people would do that. I understand falling in love with somebody of another group. You know, that is something that can happen, right? And I think people are equal. But I think you also have to take into consideration, some other values, you know, that you value your heritage. And also thinking about what your children's life is going to be like. I don't think you're doing your kids any favors by being in a relationship like that. The statistics show this. Common sense shows this. So, but I don't know why everyone wants to give me a hard, is this right? Well, if people want to do it, they can. No, I don't take a live and let live approach. I have my values, and I think my values are correct. And obviously, people can disagree, and they can do what they want. I mean, they can. That is the country that we live in. But I don't think people should. So, and I don't know why that is so controversial. Like I said, and everyone's saying, oh, that's not an argument, Nick. But up until very recently, this is what everybody believed. And all of a sudden, because of this AstroTurf campaign from media people that hate you, now if you take the opposite position, that's all people want to talk about to me. And they think it's such a vile position. Why? Why is that a bad position? Based says, Coomers be like poo-poo pee-pee. Okay. Inclusion says fountain pen. Okay. King iDub says, is feudalism based or cringe? Should it come back? I'm just not even addressing that. Tom Cruise says, what are Peter Piper's initials? Jack says, unironically, had a day with a beautiful e-girl yesterday. She was so vapid, it wasn't even funny. I tan for fun. I tell her my birthday is in January. She says, oh, you're a Capricorn? Forgive me. I should have listened. Many such cases. Yeah, you know, I say no e-girls. Not even once. Never. Not even once. Not even once, not even once, never, no e-girls, never, you know, and people say, just this one time, but maybe just this one time, but maybe for me, it'll be different. No, what part of never, not even once, don't you understand? But maybe just this one time, but for me, it's different. I just can't do it, you know the rules, no e-girls, never, not even once. Anybody remember that? It's a theme song for the show. And wow, e-girls totally vapid. Oh, I'm surprised. Yeah, everybody, you got to learn the easy way, or you learn the hard way. But everyone will learn the lesson. I don't know. Mark says, if you think you can't get a girlfriend, you just aren't trying hard enough. I had a wonderful date with Batwoman today. Okay, I don't know what that means. Yeet says, Milo, now it's time to take some questions from the audience. I've never seen rape written in capital letters as much. Yeah. Angel of Wrath says, heathen pea brains be like, but my dick. Yeah. Killer Bean says, Killer Bean trusts the plan. Good. America First Jew says, remember, we can't ban porn because we hate big government, but we can spend trillions on foreign wars. spy on our citizens, and censor BDS speech. Yeah, it's funny you anticipated everything I just said on the show. Evner says, glad to see you're woke on the DQ. We aren't denying there was a meteor, just that it wasn't that big. Keep naming the dinosaur lobby. That was not, it's funny. People have said that my take on dinosaurs was a dog whistle for the Holocaust. It literally wasn't, though. These people have been, like, we have messed with their brains so much that they think, like, if you don't believe a mainstream narrative, it's Holocaust denial. That is the level of neurotic paranoia that Jews are on. That I said, yeah, I don't know if I believe that dinosaurs are real. And they're like, that's Holocaust denial. Wait, what? You know, it was a stretch when I was doing the cookie joke. But then I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I believe in dinosaurs. It seems kind of weird. And it's what? That's a dog whistle for Holocaust denial? Literally how? But you know what? I did some research. And by the way, I got the exact desired consequence, or the desired outcome of saying that. Last week I said, you know, I find it hard to believe that dinosaurs are real. And all these science people just lost it. You don't believe in dinosaurs? This guy doesn't believe in dinosaurs. Well, that guy's so cringe, you know? And that's exactly why I said it. I didn't say dinosaurs aren't real. I actually said it probably they did exist. All I said is, I find it hard to believe. That's all. I didn't say I don't believe in them. I didn't say, oh, they didn't exist. I said, probably they do exist. I said, but I just find it hard to believe. I said, I just find it silly. Oh, giant monsters walking around? Really? And to me, this is just like the most basic, like, ridicule that science brains, scientism people, scientists. I don't mean like scientists, like an actual person who conducts science, but people that have an ideological belief in science, they cannot handle that. They cannot, it's like a religious thing. I know it's trite to say that, but they have a religious conviction in materialism, in nihilism, basically, this sort of stardust ideology, and the slightest bit of ridicule. Oh, he doesn't even believe in dinosaurs. Get a load of this guy. It's like, you know, I actually did some research. Dinosaurs did exist, but they didn't exist 65 million years ago, and they didn't get killed by a meteor. Dinosaurs, I did my research, dinosaurs did exist, but they existed alongside humans. And they were killed in the biblical flood with Noah's Ark. I did the research. The data shows, look, I looked at the data. I looked at the charts. All these science people got on my case. They said, this guy doesn't believe in dinosaurs. That means he's not serious. Okay. Well, I looked at the facts. I looked at the fossils. And you know what I saw in the fossils? Red blood cells. I looked at the fossil records. And I found blood vessels and red blood cells. Really? Organic material surviving for 65 million years? That's ridiculous. You know what else I found? Is that all the dinosaur bones were in the same position. They were running away. They were in herds. They were running from a giant flood. They were buried in layers of sediment. If you find how deep the dinosaurs are, it's much deeper than if it was a meteor. Anyway, I'm not a scientist. I'm doing my best at summarizing all of this, but dinosaurs walked with people. I watched a video about this. I forget what channel it was, but they talked about how in the book of Job, they describe Behemoth. And they describe all the different characteristics of the Behemoth. You know, Job is questioning God, and God says, you know, how dare you doubt me? I created, you know, lions and, you know, ostriches and all this. And then he describes Behemoth, the chief of his creations. And he gives all these descriptors for what Behemoth is. And they all spell out, what? A sauropod that walked with man. So scratch that. Scratch my take from last week. Okay, science faggots, you got me. Okay, lab coats, fine. Dinosaurs did exist. You got me. I find it hard to believe, but they did exist. But they didn't die out 65 million years ago, and they didn't die because of a meteor. They were created by God at the time of Adam and Eve. They died in the flood thousands of years ago. And there's another thing about the fossil record. All the museums, all the paleontologists say that they cannot find the evolutionary background for dinosaurs. There are no transitional species for the dinosaurs. It's almost as if they were just put down one after the other. So I'm changing the game. Dinosaurs are real, but they walked with humans, and they got killed in the flood with Noah's Ark. So yeah, lab coats completely destroyed again. Let's see. John Pants is a Nibba Dr. Manhattan with a Sharpie forehead based. Yeah, I saw something about that on Twitter. I don't really watch the superhero stuff. Sam Sun says, my America First hoodie came in today, and I want you to know I think it's very epic and super cozy on the inside. I'm going to wear it everywhere. Thanks for your service and for the hoodie. Well, thanks. Glad you're enjoying the hoodie. Rock himself says, breaking, Trump's backtracks on porn ban, fearing potential job loss and economic impact. Claims without it, more teens may turn to heroin. That's a really funny satirical headline. So funny, bro. Lumpy says, Matt Walsh is far from perfect regarding our views, but can we side with him on this common cause? No! No! What do you mean far from perfect? What do you mean far from perfect? Saying that anybody who criticizes Israel is anti-Semitic, anybody not on board with mass immigration is a white nationalist, somebody that hates white people, he's not perfect. I know he's not perfect. Yeah, that's pretty fucking far from perfect. Disavow, retard. Keck says conservatives should specify in their rhetoric that just non-white Hispanics are a problem. White Hispanics are white European Christians. That's so stupid. No. Texas veteran says, Nick, I'm 54 years old, been pro-white my whole life. Never seen our people waking up like this. This is due to people like you. I and my ancestors, thank you. Well, thank you. Thank you and thank you, your ancestors. Thanks. Daniel says, I loved your interview with Milo. Wish there was someone like you covering Australian politics and starting a movement over there. Yeah, maybe Lolly Socks can do that, right? Rando number 9 says, we wouldn't have had to ban porn if you guys had voluntarily participated in Don't Coom December. Okay. The cook says, hey, Nick, I'm a Paleolithic caveman, but I identify as a Zoomer. Please validate me and give me a reason to stop coping so hard. Love the show, buddy. Okay, R.A. says, awesome interview with Milo, Nick. He loves butting in, yeah, but you handled it with aplomb, just like Trump in these 16 debates with quick wit. Jokes had me rolling. Also, Joker check in chat. Our film is owning awards shows right now. Well, thanks. Glad you enjoyed. Samuel says, bench? What do you mean, bench? Bench what? Anon says, the average football game lasts 3 hours, 12 minutes. It features 11 minutes of actual play time. The entire game, truly the sport optimized for boomer ads. Yeah. Bird Dog says, white American is repetitive. Okay. Sean says, love you, King. Love you, too. Anti-Root says, Town Hall endorsed the moratorium. We're making it. Yes, we are. Hitch says, Groiper Gang. Okay, I'm not reading this. Enforcer says, why is the quartering so insanely lame? I don't know who that is. Totally Not a Troll says, great stream with Cammy. Thanks, King. Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was a good stream. It was fun. Sun Games says, thanks a lot. Thanks. John Smith says, Lolly Socks is a cringe pedo. Bad optics. He's not a pedo, but whatever. RA says, I believe everything the new TOS tells me to believe, but sadly, I feel if our leaders cared about us, they wouldn't care about legal hurdles to banning porn. They just give the Epstein prison treatment to the moguls making it. Our leaders don't care about us. So, Bandrew says, if you get banned tomorrow, it'll be the worst birthday I've ever had. Praying for the movement. We have never been stronger. See you in West Palm. Well, thanks, buddy. Happy birthday, I guess. Maybe I'll tell you tomorrow if I remember. Atred says, Milo interview looked like intro to gay snuff film. He looked like a predator in a dressed-up dungeon. Yeah, I don't know if I saw that, really. A lot of people are just kind of retarded about this stuff. It's like, I don't know. I mean, we sat down and talked about politics. He looked like it was like a gay snuff film. Okay, whatever, man. SpongeBob is real, Israel pants. Okay. Says Revenge of the Sis. And Nick Fuentes would get on Milo's show, but not ours. Yeah, because Milo wasn't an asshole about it. These guys pestered me for months. And then when I didn't come on their show, they were like, no, fuck you. You're being mean to us. You're like, whatever. So they weren't babies about it. Maybe I watched their show that they did about Vox talking about me, and I actually liked their content. But if they would just stop being babies about it, I would go on their show. True Seeker says, watch how the Coomer recoils as you threaten to take away a source of Coomies. Disgusting. The amount of cope out there is unreal. So true. Alcibiades says, you're not black enough for Milo. Ha ha. Michael says, would it be funnier to ban both porn, thoughts, and e-girls? Which combination would make the most impact? What a silly question. I just don't want to participate in these when people are like, what would be the funniest combination? Shut up. Shut up, dumb super chat. What does that even mean? Banning thoughts and e-girls? Look, it's not a joke. We want to ban porn, okay? Ban thoughts, ban e-girls. You think this is a joke? We're not kidding. okay? And we should not engage with e-girls or whores or anything like that. But, you know, you ban porn, e-girls? Dude, shut up. We're banning porn. Deep Astra says, kind of rude of Milo to request. Okay, great. Lowen says, one of the hosts of the Daily Brap and JF said they think you're gay today. Well, which host on the Daily Brap? That's a little bit more troubling. JF takes money from Jeffrey Epstein, so I'm not really concerned about what he has to say, but Daily Brap calling me that. I'm going to have a talk with your boss, Joe the Boomer. Jonathan says, watching Pete on Tucker was just another cherry on top of the awesome Q4 the end of this year has been. Cheers to you, Nick. Keep up the great work. Thanks. Kaka Poo Poo says, whatever happens, America First is flexing in 2020. Wherever you go, we will follow. Shame on those not donating and buying gear. Trust the plan, even if Nick does not have you, or even if Nick does have you muted on DLive, same name. Yeah, well, you probably shouldn't have said something mute-worthy. But, yeah, we are going to flex in 2020. And, yeah, shame on people. Look, if you don't trust the plan, you're just going to look stupid. I'm done fighting with people about this kind of stuff. I'm done. Look. If you don't look at my record of what I've said, what I've accomplished, and so on, if you don't trust the plan, I'm not going to sit there and argue, here's why I'm winning. I'm just going to continue to win. And people that are going to criticize and snipe from the sidelines and fling shit, people that should be on my side, they're just discrediting themselves. And when we win, when we continue to win over this year and the next year and so on, I hope everybody's just paying attention at who's been trusting the plan and who hasn't. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to keep trying to tell people that have been losers and losing for years, here's why I'm winning, whatever. I'm done trying to justify it. I am winning. I will continue to win. And you can either get on the train or get off. But if you get off, fuck you. You're retarded. And, you know, I'm not going to try and justify anymore. We're just going to do our thing. That's exactly what happened to the Wignats. You know, at the end of the year, in 2018, I said, I'm done arguing with Wignats. Wignats are not going to win. They don't know how to win. I'm done fighting with them. They're going nowhere. We're going to focus on the real enemy. It's the same thing with all the counter signalers. Same thing with all the haters. All these people. Oh, I'm a Chinese asset. Oh, yeah, I'm gay. Oh, I'm an asset for Iran. Oh, I'm actually working for Turning. I work for NASA. All these people come. Oh, and the stuff about the Groyper Summit. Oh, Charlottesville too. All these people. Okay. Continue to lose, continue to do nothing, continue to not change the conversation, and we will continue to do all of those things, right? We will continue to make progress. We will continue to win. And I'm just done engaging on that level. If you don't trust the plan, you're just getting blocked and ignored. You don't want to win. Punish Chewy says, John Miller on the Blaze is great as well. We are becoming a real Big Ten movement. We can win. Trust Nick's plan and trust God's plan. Exactly. Yeah, he's pretty based. Let's see. And that is, the Big Ten movement is true. We need to change the conversation about immigration, and it's happening. You know, if Town Hall, Blaze, all these people, Cernovich even, are coming out and saying demographics is destiny, that's winning. Suck says, God willing, we should have Trump change his campaign slogan to America First for 2020. Yeah, we should. Yeah, I'll call him up. Hey, we should change your campaign slogan for sure. Bird Dog says, Burke was right. Ugh, cringe. Groyper says, just want to say thank you. You're awesome. Or just want to say, I think you're awesome. Inspired me to get more involved in politics and what's going on in the world. Florida Rep. Well, thanks. Big Billy says, Nick. Okay. Tim W says, was schmooting all weekend to Alien by Kanye. Thanks to you. Appreciate the indirect recommendation and for making Mondays something to look forward to. You're the best, big guy. Well, thanks. Thanks for the big super chat. I'm glad you can appreciate that song. That song is so hot to me. The new version off of Yandy, not the old version from the summer. I don't know. You probably saw it during the stream the other day. But yeah, that's a total schmood. Tangenting says, if you were offered a job partnership in InfoWars, would you accept? Jones and PJW seem to love your work, and Jake Lloyd is a groiper. It would depend on what they offered. But I'm not going to have that conversation publicly on the show. Alcibiades says, true Christian conservatism is never authoritarian if it promotes a healthy society. That's just not true. Harold says, being against degenerates is probably anti-Semitic. Yeah, it literally is. Catholicism says, watched Milo's show. I was pleased to see the mutual groiper values held by even him. However, I was shocked to see the mutual groping. I don't know what that means. Internet Explorer says, I'm on the fence about applying for AIM, but I'm only available to contribute on a small scale. Is it worth me applying, or is it not for someone like me? I would say that if you're on the fence, you probably shouldn't do it. Because, look, I mean, getting involved in a organization, getting involved, you know, in a... You know, if you're not just somebody participating on the outside, but you actually join a group, the risk level changes automatically. Even though AIM has good OPSEC, I like Patrick Casey and so on, the very nature of joining a group is exposing yourself to more risk. So if you're not acceptable at the risk of being doxxed or anything like that, you just shouldn't apply. That's all I'm saying. So, you know, if people are okay with that on some level or they're prepared for that, only then would I say to join a group. But joining a group inherently carries those risks, in my opinion. Dumbasses, libertarians be like 10-year-olds having access to porn does not violate the NAP, therefore it's perfectly fine, yeah. Shrubbery says sticks hands 666 and satanic panic. Okay, funny. Magazog says, I don't support regulations against pornography. I Google, okay, I'm not reading that. Armand says, great job on Milo. May I suggest trying a blue screen instead of a green screen? That is a cleaner alpha key. Keep up the good work, your Armenian groiper. How'd that make any... Look at the outfit I'm wearing. A blue screen? Really? Sucks says, I got out of libertarianism when they can't answer how to enforce NAP and their debates on social issues like age of consent is up to the free market. Under moral religious rule, that's not a problem. Yeah, there's some truth in that. John Robertson's a stupid boomer argument. If you think we should ban porn, I guess you should also stop playing GTA because young boys play that. Boomer stream tonight. It's a boomer take. It's literally the opposite. It is the opposite to say we should ban porn. That is the opposite of a boomer take. What a stupid comment. And GTA's got nothing to do with it, dummy. What a retard. Shit take says, hey, big fella. What, more like the other guy's a shit take. Hey, big fella, what scripture helps you keep going in times of black pillings? Also, it's time to retire the Big Mac. It's all about the quarter pounder with cheese. No, it is. No, actually, it's not. I love when super chatters come in. It's time to do this. No, shut up. Shut up, super chatter. I make the rules around here. I'm the host, and the Big Mac is still very much in. And what scripture helps me keep going? Honestly, I don't really get black-pilled. You know, I mean, black-pill is used very loosely when things don't go our way, but I've been very white-pilled for the past, like, 3 years. Jackson says, this hasn't really been noticed yet, but there was a black man in South Africa who made a video called Nick Fuentes is Solid on YouTube expressing support for the movement and you. Only 100 views. I'll have to look into that. Jack says, last super chatter equals R-word. Okay. JL says the virgin complete sentences versus the chat incomprehensible gibberish. Yeah. Trey says, hey, Nick, I just found out my girlfriend is pregnant, going to be getting married soon. I mean, hey, someone's got to make white babies, right? Wrong. Don't knock up your girlfriend. Do you know who does that? I think you know who does that. Talking about making white babies. That's not how they're made. They're made within the holy union of marriage. So cringe. What a cringe person you are. I mean, look. If that does happen to you, I guess the best thing you could do is get married, but no. Oh, who's going to make the white babies? Am I right? No, how about you get married, you fucking retard? Shame on you, man. What a bad... We cannot be proud. There's nothing to be proud of in that. Nothing tongue-in-cheek funny about that. That is cringe, bro. Knocking up your girlfriend is cringe. You know who does that? That is not what we are about. You know, does that non-Christians? That's what I was going to say. That's a certain kind of behavior we know. Non-Christian, right? No, it's trying to be funny about it. Who say someone's got to make them right? Yeah. How about you get married first, you dummy? V2 says, what are your biggest issues? You know, that's going to be really funny if your kids don't have parents, right? That's going to be really funny if your kids are in a custody battle or they grow up without a father or a mother. Yeah, it's really funny to make light of that. V2 says, what are your biggest issues with the free market and what is your ideal economic model? Yeah, here we go again. Biggest issue with the free market, the biggest issue with the free market, I would say, is, the free market itself. I mean, it's not like there's like one thing. It's just structurally, it is flawed. The free market is an anti-traditional force. It is an anti-national force. Free market through creative destruction. I don't know if anybody caught that. The underlying force that makes the free market work is creative destruction. Destruction. It destroys communities. It destroys existing, you know, models and things that are going on, you know, institutions in the society. It is inherently chaotic. It is inherently anti-order. So structurally, it is flawed. I was, oh, what's your biggest problem? Well, it's that it caused obesity. No, I mean, structurally, there are problems with it. An ideal economic model, I don't tend to believe in these things. I believe in a very ad hoc idea. There should be property rights and, you know, generally markets. But I think the government should steer the economy, you know, towards families, towards localism, towards, you know, protecting workers within the nation. Swaligart says, first saw porn at 10 years old and looking for cheat codes for Age of Empires 2. I was at my babysitter's and the computer autofilled to cheaters.com. Yep, that's why. And these are reasons why it should be banned. Sin Sex says, I don't want to be the only guy who never got to Super Chat America First. Also imagine looking in the mirror and being proud of defending ubiquitous pornography. LMAL, yeah, right? Well, thanks for the Super Chat. Glad you made it in time. But I don't know. I have a good feeling. I think we're going to make it for a little while longer on the show. But yeah, I don't know who could possibly be out there defending pornography, thinking that's a good idea. Big Time Rush says, porn ruined my relationships for years. Thank you for bringing me back to reality and the church. God bless you, Nick. Well, thanks. God bless. I'm glad that worked out for you. Yeah, look, if you're doing porn right now, you gotta stop. Gotta put down the porn. There's nothing good about it for you. There's nothing. And, you know, look, the trick about porn is that it is addictive. It's designed to be addictive. It's designed to get you hooked. And it'd be difficult to break the habit, but you have to do it. And you gotta think to yourself, not only is this a sin, not only does it offend God, but it's also not good for you. It is not doing you any favors. It is profoundly unhealthy for your brain, for your relationships. So I would say, you know, if you're on that stuff, gotta quit. Aeon says, I had a Polish Roman Catholic monarchist professor in grad school who once told me sexual liberation always ends in scatophilia. Well, not far off, right? Bert says, thank you for talking about pornography. Here's $5 towards your Cybertruck. Well, thanks. Thanks for the contribution. Dumbass says, just tells parents to raise their kids to avoid a billion-dollar industry built to lure in young men and turn them into mush-brained slaves. Yeah, exactly. Let's just tell people to live a virtuous life. You know, we've got multi-billion-dollar companies, multi-trillion-dollar industries designed to get your kids hooked on drugs and on pornography and steer them in the wrong direction and make them into slaves. And we just have to convince people to not do that. We just have to convince them. We just have to win the conversation. No, we need the government to step in and break the backs of these bad industries. It's the only way. You know, Moms Demand Action was not enough to defeat Disney. You know, Moms Demand Action could not defeat Walt Disney. That should tell you something, right? Your little advocacy group is not going to be able to defeat the porn industry. It's not going to be able to defeat Big Pharma. Only the government is the last institution that can checkmate these out of control, off the rails sectors in the economy. Let's see. Harris says, ban abortion? I would never. That's big government. Yeah, right? These are the kinds of arguments we're hearing. John says, nope, you're wrong. Banning porn would magically delete millions of videos already out there. Coomers rise up. What an idiot, dude. Yeah, obviously, you wouldn't get rid of porn completely, but you could obviously stop a lot of it. And what do you mean you wouldn't magically delete millions of videos instantly? You could put in place regulations that would say we will penalize every website that has pornography. You just don't have a good enough imagination for this. Yeah, Coomers Rise Up is right. You are a Coomer. Shame on you. Raw John says, are you currently seeking a wife? No, not right now. Isaac Miller says, if tomorrow I told the press that millions of little boys were watching hardcore porn, nobody panics because it's all part of the plan. But when one little letter gets written to Bill Barr, well, then everybody loses their minds. Yeah, it's true. ASDF says, anyone whose answer to this is to make a, oh, you want daddy government to take care of you, is probably addicted to porn. Yeah, exactly. Well, and this retard saying, oh, it's like Grand Theft Auto, or it's like cigarettes, or whatever. We're not talking about any of that. We're talking about porn. And that's always the argument. Let's pivot and talk about something else. Ban weed? What about alcohol? No, we're talking about banning weed. And we're going to ban weed. Oh, you want to ban porn? Well, should we ban everything else? Maybe. But let's start with porn. Let's ban porn first. And then we could talk about everything else. And maybe we will. Maybe we will ban everything else. But we're talking right now about porn, and there's no reason it should continue to be the way it is. ASDF says, not to black pill anyone, but millions of girls and women are addicted too. Please watch your daughters. Yeah, that's true. Harry says, I've been seeing the media pushing Billie Eilish nonstop lately on all the platforms. What do you think is going on here? And who is behind this? I don't know if anyone's behind this. I mean, she's obviously a degenerate pop star, satanic in a lot of ways, demonic, but I don't know if this is like, I don't know what you're getting at there. In the same way that they promote other pop stars, I haven't noticed like anything outsized about them promoting her. Brian says, Nick Fuentes for president. Yeah. Senpai says, whoops, scroll down too far. Where was I? Here we go. Senpai says, I would like to ask, I guess for spiritual reasons, what is it about the Christian faith that's convincing for you? I've been struggling with religion for about a while now. However, I'm not an atheist. What is it about the Christian faith that is convincing for me? I would say, I don't really love this argument about like, you know, to me, I didn't like shop around. I wasn't like, I hate that argument of like, there's Hinduism, Buddhism. Why is Christianity? I mean, I guess it's an argument that people, that are a process that some people go through. I was obviously born Catholic. I was confirmed Catholic. And to me, I think it's the only coherent system. Honestly, you look at all the other religions and, you know, they don't have like prophecies that were fulfilled. You know, in Christianity, you had a lot of prophecies that were fulfilled. That's obviously pretty consequential. You also had the resurrection. You know, I don't think anywhere else do you see, you know, anything legitimately miraculous like this. I think in Hinduism, it's a lot of myth and symbolism. I think in Islam, there's just like no, I mean, it's just like a spinoff of Christianity. That's how they originally saw it. They saw Mohammedanism as a derivative of Christianity. It was a heresy. And so I just see Christianity fundamentally because of the resurrection. You know, I read Ed Fieser's Last Superstition, and this basically convinced me of a lot of the theological arguments about monotheism and the nature of God and so on. And then what drives it home is, do you believe in the resurrection? You believe, you sort of deduce the nature of God, I think, basically through reason, through intuition in some sense, but also if you read like Aquinas or Aristotle or some of these kinds of people. And then I think you come around when you realize that Christ rose from the dead. I mean, how can you deny that? If he rose from the dead, what he said was probably true. So that's really what sent it home for me, is that the resurrection happened. And if it happened, then it's true. So that's, to me, the big difference. But there's a great video about this by Fulton Sheen. It's called On Comparative Religion, and he talks a little bit about this. But it's sort of hard for me to answer this, because I didn't come at it from looking at all the different religions. I just looked at Christianity and I saw all the reasons it was true, and there it was, you know. Gabriel says, is Q a red pill? No, Q is a blue pill. Based Leaf says, go off, Nickler. We know who they are. Anand says, leftoids and libertarians unironically believe they are revolutionaries fighting against the system. Zuma right is the real counterculture. Yes. Kata says, awesome take tonight. Sad to see so many trying to counter-signal or override you on these things. If everyone's the captain, no one is. Trust the plan. Trust the plan. Simple as. Mike says, jail all pornographers and their Coomer apologists. Big agree. Big Money Wagey says, LMAO at America First Jew with the $2 super chat. Typical. Just kidding. Love you, bro. Well, thank you for the big super chat from Big Money Wagey. That's pretty funny. Alex says, thank you for talking about this on the show. I used to be an atheist, but decided to stop watching porn and start working out months ago, and I felt my brain rewire. I realized God was right all along. Well, that's great to hear, man. That's what has to happen for everybody. Stop smoking pot. Stop doing drugs. Stop jerking off and watching pornography. Start lifting. Start going to church. Start eating right. It will change your life. Now, I don't lift, okay? Admittedly, it's been a long time since I've lifted, and I don't eat right. But if you go to church and, you know, you don't do drugs, you don't jerk off, you know, that's a start. So that's where I'm at, right? So people are going to say, oh, what are you talking about, Nick? You don't lift. And it's like, yeah, it's been a while since I lifted. I've been busy. I've been doing Groiper War stuff. But for everybody else, that's what you should do. And it will change your life. ASDF says, the industry also hires desperate women and destroys them. It's disgusting and degenerate. Those in the industry literally hate and reject Jesus. True. True. The people that run the industry do hate Jesus, right? And yeah, it does take advantage of women. That's true. RJ says, let the pornographers' heads roll. Yes, you know, in Minecraft, certainly. Inner City Democrats says, you'd put pornographers, drug dealers in jail, but how would you deal with the coomers, stoners using it? Rehabilitation or punishment of any kind? I think with pornography, I definitely wouldn't punish porn users. I would punish porn distributors, but people that are using it, probably not. If there's violations of, you know, if you're accessing it underage, you know, I don't know what could be done about that. And if you're accessing it illegally, maybe there'd be fines associated. But with drugs, it's a little bit different. Stoners, I would definitely, yeah, I would put people that use drugs in jail. I would definitely. There's a lot of people out there saying, like, oh, you shouldn't punish drug users. No, you should. Maybe it's not as extreme as for drug dealers, but you should definitely have a punishment. Even if it's fines, minor jail time, something like that. Maybe have a system of warnings. I don't know. I'm not a policymaker, but we have to just go in that direction. Bill the Butcher says, the powers that be know that porn turns you into a weak beta. If porn was banned, people might start to get more aggressive and manly and notice things. Yeah, there's certainly some truth in that, I would say. Let's see. Miss Juju Pan says, hey, Nick, is there anything right-wing ladies can do to help? Wish you all the best. Oh, what can right-wing ladies do? Make more right-wing babies is what you can do. Find a husband. Another wishful Zoomer says, great show tonight, King. Your take on the pornography issue is on point. Also, true Nickers trust the plan. Never forget. It's true. Can't be a true Nicker if you don't trust the plan. But thanks for that. Hey, you've got some great content as well. Everybody's loving your content as well, King, so you keep it up too. Eskimo says, Ooga Booga. Okay. JV says, Yaron Brooks wants to debate that kid Fuentes. Who is Yaron Brooks? Sounds Jewish. Yaron Brooks. Which book? Okay. I recognize him vaguely. Did he write a book or something? He's from the Ayn Rand Institute. Cringe. Sure, yeah, we could do a debate. Let's see. Yeah, Ayn Rand. What is it? Ayn Rand Institute he runs? He's an objectivist. Cringe. Skoda says, do you want total war? Yeah. Mike says, OMG, ooh, woo, Nick-like XD. Okay. Am the Web says, hey, Nick, heard about a Groiper today who is creating super PAC focused on our issues. You think we will see more of our people creating organizations and infrastructure-type entities in the future? Yes, I do. Yolt says, not sure how versed you are on Gunstagram, but there's a big rift growing right now about demographics between Lulberts and Identitarians. Great show. Well, thanks. I don't know what any of that's about. Pounds Aesthetics says, the stream last night was very Keno, especially the arcade. It was very Keno. That was a very Keno stream. I'm glad you guys were enjoying it. It was fun. It was a fun, sort of laid back. It was a bro stream, you know? Dimitri says, the commie regime's pretty much wiped out any culinary traditions from Polish, Russian, Slav culture. You're right. Is that what did it? Was it communists? Because I feel like there really wasn't a lot of culinary stuff there to begin with. I don't mean to offend anybody, but Russian food? I mean, was Russia ever, like, world-renowned for Russian cuisine? I mean, look, not to dick, okay? I like you. I met you. I think you're a good guy. But let's be real. When I was in, the only time I went to Europe, I went to Czechia. And what do they have? Beef goulash? Was that the rich, you know, Eastern European cuisine that we're missing out on? Beef goulash? It's beef and gravy? Really? That was like the pinnacle of European culinary traditions. I don't know. I mean, you go a little bit south, you're in Italy, and you got the good stuff. You know, Angloids are eating what, like, eel? They're eating all this goofy, what, haggis and all this retarded stuff, black pudding and whatever, when you could just go to Italy and have pasta, right? So I don't know about that. Jane says, Polish food has many meat dishes. It's an expansive paleo diet. The only diet I know is the McDonald's diet. Yeet says, Nick goes on the Milo show earlier this week and says today he loves the Poles. Oh, that's great. Let's see. Peter's says, money-saving tip, take the wrench pill. Learn how to change your oil and check your fluids. It's easy. All on YouTube. Keep the staying chirping, big guy. How much money do you really spend by doing your own oil change? What does it cost to get an oil change? Like $50? The wrench pill. I think there's other money-saving tips other than, you know, what does it cost to change oil? It's been a while since I had my change, but I don't believe it's that expensive. Let me look it up. Change oil. Let's see. Yeah, it costs like $50. Quick, and I don't mean to be like, oh, I don't want to save money, but it's like, here's a really good money-saving tip. How often do you have to get your oil changed, and it's $50? It's like, I don't know, it's not like an amazing cost savings. Since you get it for $25 sometimes, like, you know, you save more money just not having a car, you know, or buying gas or something like that. Anyway, Inclusion says, are you based on the FPQ? Don't know what that is. Peter says, would these porn defenders be fine if their own daughters were defiled by the porn industry? Such a strange attitude to be fine with the whoring out of the youth. What freaks, yeah. Lone Slav says, bro, I was expecting to receive my shirt from the store in a month, but it came in a week. Looking forward to meeting some knickers from wearing it. Well, hey, I'm glad that it came quickly for you. Catholic Patriots says, dinosaur denial is Holocaust denial. It is known. Yeah, I guess deny anything and it's Holocaust denial. ASDF says, caved in head Wojak. Banning porn is like 1984. By the way, they wouldn't have you read vapid dystopian novels in school if they were that deep. It's a good point. Very true. Gaywad says, libertarians are retarded. This country is about self-governance, not unfettered liberty. Very true. That's a good point. John Jonas says, the problem is not porn itself. No, actually it is. At the core, it's feminism and matriarchy, female hypergamy, the 80-20 rule, where only chads and beta bucks get laid. Patriarchy restores the family, high marriage and birth rates, healthy bedrooms with less need for porn. No, dude, porn itself is... What's wrong with you? This is such a bad take. No, dude. What kind of take even is this? Yes, feminism is bad. Matriarchy is bad. Porn itself is bad. Porn is a sin. It is also bad. How do you produce porn? By having whores create it, right? And the existence of porn is self-perpetuating. If you have pornography, it goes hand in hand with all the things you're talking about. You can't have one and not the other. Well, porn is fine. It's the matriarchy, which is bad. Not seeing the relationship between the two? No, totally bad take. Anon says, who are the Redditors saving the planet for if they call kids parasites? We must secure the existence of Funko Pop figures and a future for heckin' doggos. Yeah, that's great. It's a good point. Make Brazil based again says, why did you do an interview with Milo? I thought anal sex had nothing to do with conservatism. He represents everything you're against on the right. Yeah, he is a Zionist. He's homosexual. He doesn't promote homosexuality. And he is also against the idea of race being a determinant. Why did I go on the show so I could expose my views to more people? What is difficult about this? I've answered this question since I announced, well, why did you go on the thing? Well, because I thought this and I thought that. Well, I told you why. Because even though we disagree on these things, it helps to have the conversation. It helps to introduce this into the dialectic. It helps to have a conversation because, you know, not everybody believes the things we believe. Some people support Milo and they support Zionism. And they support exclusively religious determinism. And they might be on board with homosexuality. And so to go on the show and have a debate, maybe it's more conversational, but it is a disagreement, to flesh out our arguments and more importantly, to expose them to a different audience, and to bring aboard more allies who at the bare minimum say that our views are legitimate, that is a good thing for us. I don't know why this is difficult to understand. I would debate Charlie Kirk. Well, you know, if I debated Charlie Kirk, would people be saying, why would you debate Charlie Kirk? I thought he's against everything you stand for. Yeah, that's why we're debating him. That's why we're having a conversation with him, right? What a retard. Primal Ghost says, I thought anal sex had nothing to do with conservatism. It doesn't. Where in the interview did I say that? How does me coming on the show, how is that a concession that anal sex is part of conservatism? It isn't. not a plan, you know, banned. Banned for not trusting the plan. You don't trust the plan. Not smart. We have to return to the high IQ show. If you've been watching the show for a long time, you remember I used to say you have to have a high IQ to watch this show. Don't watch the show if you're not high IQ. CCB says, great seeing you on Friday. Hope to see you in West Palm. Yeah, hopefully. AK says, E. Michael Jones seems to be down for going head-to-head against Dick Masterson and Sticks about the porn question on the kill stream. Maybe ask about it being two-on-two when you are on next? I don't know, maybe. Let's see. Faking says, actually, the decay rate of carbon can be used to estimate the age of... Just kidding, LMAO. Yeah, carbon dating's bullshit. Epic Turtle says, the bro... What does it say? My bro, Mullet Zoomer, and I hope to see you at GLS. Okay. ASDF says, went to my first county GOP meeting tonight. I got asked by people, including the chair, if I wanted to run for office. It's like they wanted to get groiped. Yeah, they do want to get groiped. Josh says, Groiper theme song should be Love No Thotties by Keef. Okay, that's really funny. Simon Scola says, what's the latest we can expect? Invitations, confirmation to GLS. Flights and hotels are selling out. Great stream the other day, by the way. I think invitations are going out tomorrow or tonight. I'll have to double check. Patrick Casey put it on his Telegram. Oompa Loompa says, you tell him, Nick, trust the plan, new to your channel, and I appreciate your content and your hard work. You should consider starting up America First Party chapters around the country because conservative boomers are compromised. Thoughts on Tulsi? Well, thanks. Welcome to the channel. America First Party chapters? You mean like a political party? I've been over this. Not really a practical idea. Thoughts on Tulsi? I think, you know, she's right on regime change and really not much else. But thanks. AB says, praying for you, praying for your success, your protection, for you to have discernment and wisdom. Well, thanks. John Jonas says, on demographics, the UN admits that population reduction is directly related to female empowerment. The opposite is also true. Repeal the 19th, net taxpayers and military personnel earn the right to vote. Population reduction related to female... Yeah, okay. I agree. I agree with all that. But porn is inherently bad. I don't know why you would say it's not. Thrift finds as simple as Dragon Ball X instead of Dragon Ball Z. Okay. Sylvia says, remember, men, just think if that was your daughter. It's actually sad. Where are those women's fathers? Yeah, good point. Luke says, everyone donate to Pete's campaign. We need to support our guys. Yeah, big agree. Magazox says, I agree with you, Nick. Porn should be banned. I'd rather live in a healthy society. Yep. Ravenous Lamppost says, make it so that porn is technically legal, but accepting payment for it is illegal. And of course, make sure children don't get it. No, just make it illegal. Stanley says, opinions on ecumenism, specifically the Orthodox. Don't really know what ecumenism is. Dr. Taylor Marshall says, make porn a felony. I wouldn't go that far. To consume it, probably not. Not Omegon says, Nick be like, follow me or get out of my way. Exactly. Samuel says, Lolly Socks makes me understand catboys. Mega Chad. Yeah, there you go. Monochrome says, LMAO, remember when you said the N-word on stream? Which time? Cultist Gordon says, I am so glad I picked the Hyde War scarf over the Epstein shirt. These stupid jokes probably killed the schmoot of those shirts. It's too bad, too. Yeah, I mean, the Epstein shirt is still Kino, but yeah, the Epstein didn't kill himself thing certainly put a damper on it. Dixie Inn says, thoughts on South Africa winning Miss Universe? Didn't see that. Spooky Crane says, another great show. Go off. We know who they are. Yeah. Gregory says, 2019, Fuentes advocates government censorship of online porn. 2020, YouTube changes its TOS to classify America First as pornography. Yeah, I don't think that'll happen. Undiru says, yeah, let me just give up porn so I can be beholden to any land whale that's willing to get with me. Get real. Love your anti-immigration stuff, though. Wow, what a pathetic humor. Everyone's laughing at you, dude. Yeah, why would I get married when I can have porn? Yeah, the question answers itself, retard. Okay, but it looks like that's the last Super Chat, so that's going to do it for us tonight on the show. Remember, got to get on that email list. If we're not here tomorrow, it's the only way you're going to be able to find my content. So go to NicholasJFuentes.com, sign up for the email list. Check me out on Telegram, t.me/NickJFuentes1, just in case. Knock on wood, say a prayer. Hopefully we're still here tomorrow, but that's where you can find me. That's where I can contact you to tell you where you can find me. If I do get kicked off, we'll see what happens. Remember to subscribe to the channel, give me a big thumbs up, leave a comment down below. Click the notification bell to get notified every time I go live. Remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm Nicholas J. Fuentes, as always. Thanks for watching. Thanks to our super chatters. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you, folks. And I will see you tomorrow. Until then, have a great rest of your evening.